Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ken Davis is here. Kenneth C. Davis is the name on the books. The Don't Know Much About History, that's the Bible, the original one, and then all the other Don't Know Much About books, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. But it's kind of a trick, folks, his books, because he actually knows a lot about this stuff. And, of course, I think the brand-new book is In the Shadow of Liberty. Ken, is that the new one?
That is the most recent one, In the Shadow of Liberty, and very appropriate to the moment. It's about presidents and the people they owned.
Right.
A piece of the story we don't usually talk about too much, but very important one.
Welcome back to the show, Ken. It's good to have you here on President's Day. So, all right, let's go back and talk about the origins of the presidency. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote about this. They wrote about it 20 years before the Declaration of Independence. Their every thought was sans kings. That's what they wanted. No more despots, no more knights. They called them no more king, no more princes. They wanted something besides that, and they went about getting it, didn't they?
They did, and of course, when we talk about presidents, first of all, just for historical accuracy's sake, because I'm all about accuracy, today is not President's Day. It is still George Washington's birthday on the official federal calendar. And I point this out every year. I know it's like spitting water
under. I appreciate you saying that. And why, tell people why it's important for you to point this out. This is like some kind of political correctness, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't political correctness so much as that there used to be, of course, Lincoln's birthday is celebrated on the 12th,
right.
But it was never a national holiday, never a federal holiday. For some reason, half of the country didn't really like Lincoln too much. you know, we can talk about that.
There was
some
that
other
skirmish
time.
Back 150 years ago.
But there was a national holiday. In fact, Washington's birthday was one of the first national holidays enacted. But when they created the Monday holidays, which was called the Uniform Holiday Act in 1968, they moved Washington's birthday to the third Monday in February. But they never changed the name.
Right.
It's only advertising and promotion that kind of merged the two ideas together. It was thought that they could change the name and celebrate two presidents on President's Day, but that is not what the law said, and so it is still on the books as George Washington's birthday.
Well, yeah, but you're right. I mean, my calendar says President's Day.
Your calendar, your bank, your supermarket,
the linen sale at the store.
All the car commercials say President's Day.
Yeah.
George is chopping down the prices.
But you and I remember when it was a President's Day. I mean, George Washington sale.
Yeah, that's right. And and I, living in New York, where, as I did growing up, we had a separate holiday for Lincoln's birthday. It was a state holiday, but
absolutely.
Never a federal holiday.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing I want to clear that up away.
I'm glad you did. I appreciate you doing that.
And then to your main point. Summer of 1787, of course, the war is over in 1783. America's free. It's stumbling along under the Articles of Confederation, not a very good operating system. These men get together in Philadelphia in secret behind locked doors and closed windows to reinvent the American system of government, and they come up with the Constitution. The thing they argued about most, perhaps, was what they were going to do with the so-called executive branch, and they wanted.
Where did the term executive come from in those days?
They
used it, didn't they? And
yes, and there were going to be obviously three branches of government. This was not
a the term executive. That's we think of that as a modern term, don't we?
Yeah, but it was an executive was the person who executed things and
mm-hmm.
got things done, and that's what they wanted in the executive.
But in my study of history, and I've done a fair amount myself over the years, I never heard the word executive prior to them. I never heard the word executive.
That's a good question. I don't know the etymology of that. I do know.
Wouldn't you agree, though, it's rare? If you ever saw it, it was rare?
Probably. But the word president was the one they debated much more because that it was at the time, of course, it comes from Latin. It means to sit in front of. So a president was the person who sat in the front. And of course, Washington was the president of the Constitutional Convention. He presided over it. The term in the United States goes back. The first time it's used is the president of Harvard, then Harvard College. So it was a term that was used, but did not have the stature that we think of as president today. In fact, some people thought it was a derisive term in a way.
Wow.
And so it was interesting that's what they came up with. But more to the point was that they were arguing about what it should be. They did not want a king. They just worked very hard and fought a war to get away from a king who was not only the head of state, but also the head of church. And that was another thing they were very concerned about.
They wanted separation.
So when they finally come up with the plan, and of course they built in all the balance of power, the checks and balances that we talk about and very often ignore, but they wanted a person who could act quickly with vigor, as Alexander Hamilton wrote in one of the Federalist Papers, and be able to move quickly and negotiate, because if left to Congress to resolve these things, of course it would be months and months of dithering and debate. And sometimes they knew they needed quick.
But yet they knew that they couldn't afford him too much power.
That's
they
exactly right. That was the great fear, and that was the great fear, especially with giving him control of the army by making the president, and I say him, and of course in 1787 it was only him that would have been president.
Right.
And so they were very, very concerned about that. That was probably the thing they feared. They all knew the history of republics in the past, going back to ancient Rome, that a strong man with an army usually came in, and that would be the end of the republic. And they feared that more than anything. Ben Franklin, when the whole thing is done, says, we know the first man at the helm will be a good one, meaning Washington. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll be on our way to an elected monarchy. And that's the thing they feared. But they did not limit the terms originally under the Constitution.
Right.
They did give the president the command of the army, but they gave Congress the power to declare war, which it hasn't done a very good job of
over the years.
200 years.
When we come
years.
Back, I want to talk to Ken about, I want to focus on the institution of the presidency.
Sure.
And I think this is really important, especially these days, to talk about the institution and if it's still strong. 20 after, right back with Ken Davis. Don'tknowmuch.com is a website. Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.